A crucial week for leaders to come up with a plan to save the Eurozone.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Today, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, published a bunch of pretty grim economic forecasts for the Eurozone. It says economies will continue to shrink into next year. And the OECD is calling for decisive action to tackle the continent's big debt crisis. The BBC's Andrew Walker is with us now from London with the latest. Hey, Andrew.
Hello there.
So what are some of the plans that we're hearing about in solving or trying to solve this crisis?
Two key things. I think we may well get some more detail on exactly how Europe intends to go about increasing the firepower of its agency for providing financial assistance to struggling European governments. And I think there's also a lot of talk going on, especially between France and Germany, about increased discipline on the finances of governments that use the euro.
I mean, is there anything sort of coming down the pike immediately?
There might well be something on that question of increased discipline. France and Germany would like to get on with this quite quickly, because if there is something in the pipeline that will produce results fairly quickly, then it might just increase the chances of the European Central Bank acting more aggressively to deal with the crisis right now. France in particular would desperately like the bank to do that.
The BBC's Andrew Walker in London. Andrew, thank you.
My pleasure.
And one plan European leaders have talked about containing the crisis is something called ring fencing, like quarantining those countries with the worst debt problems. Marketplace senior producer Patty Hirsch and I traveled to one place where ring fencing is nothing new. Oh, man, we're at the zoo. I love the zoo, Patty. And that's a red-handed tamarin.
Yes, it is, Steve. Now, don't try and pet it, please. There's a fence around it for a reason.
Ah, I get it. A ring fence. You're telling me that European nations are like a bunch of wild animals?
No, I'm saying that in a zoo, some animals have to be kept in their own enclosures. And in Europe right now, some countries need to be kept separate from the rest of the pack. And the idea is to do that with a ring fence.
To stop their problems from getting out and hurting the rest of us, right?
Right, but also so they can get the specific care that they need. I mean, it's like you don't put a tiger in with the gazelles, do you?
No, you do not.
And not just because they might harm each other. A tiger's needs are different to a gazelle's.
And Italy's needs are different to France's.
Exactly. So a ring fence around Italy is going to do two things. It's going to stop its problems infecting anyone else, and it's going to give the Italian government the space it needs to mend the country.
Okay, I get the concept, but how would it work in practice?
All right, let's get one thing straight first. You know, Italy is solvent right now. It is still making money. It does not need a bailout, at least not yet. But if its borrowing costs keep rising, it could go bust.
But how can it bring those borrowing costs down?
Okay, so the borrowing costs are rising because nobody wants to buy Italy's bonds because they're worried it could go bust. And that means that Italy has to pay more and more in interest to buy new bonds. But if someone stepped in, say maybe the European Central Bank, and said, we'll guarantee all of Italy's bonds, then people would be happy to buy them and the cost of borrowing would fall and Italy would be fine again.
All right, so that's the fence going up. How long would that bond guarantee have to stay in place?
Long enough for Italy to make real changes in the way the country runs. All right, the country has to cut its government spending big time. It also has to put reforms in place that are going to allow its companies to become more competitive and productive, and only then will its growth rate rise. And once those reforms kick in and investors believe that Italy can handle its debt, they'll stop treating it like some kind of, I don't know, dangerous animal that's escaped from the zoo.
All right, I get that. But let me ask you this. What zoo animal is Italy?
Well, people say Italy is a kind of a hybrid of Germany and Greece, right, with the industrial north and the sunny south.
Right.
So if Germany's a bear, you know, they like bears up there, yeah, and Greece was, say, a sloth.
A sloth? Patty! Hey, I'm Greek, man.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry, mate. Anyway, somewhere in between those two extremes. So, I don't know, maybe a baboon, you know, flashing its red bottom at everybody, you know.
Marketplace's Patty Hirsch. Patty, thanks.
It's a pleasure, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Hope of Europe finding some kind of solution to its debt crisis is lifting stocks at the moment. European shares are up between 2 and 4%. Asian shares rose as well. 226 million people shopped during the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. Black Friday sales topped $11 billion. That's up 7% over last year, according to ShopperTrack. Wall Street Friday, the Dow lost 25 points to end the week at 11,231.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896, AllianzUSA.com. And by Thomson Reuters and their expedition to break the Overland Speed Record to the South Pole. You can follow them in real time at expeditiontothesouthpole.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Egyptians began voting today in the first phase of parliamentary elections. The country's been in economic turmoil since Hosni Mubarak was booted from office earlier this year. But in some parts of Cairo, reporter Julia Simon says it's business as usual.
In the area of Shubra in northern Cairo, a boulevard lined with factories has continued to spurt smoke all throughout the Arab Spring. Despite the violence just a half an hour away in Tahrir Square, tens of thousands of Egyptians show up here every day for work, as they have been all this year.
Everything in Egypt is going on the same before, no any change.
Haisama Saeed is the production manager of a clothing factory in Shubra. The factory makes inexpensive clothes that sell in stores in the U.S. Egypt's GDP is about the size of Louisiana's, and while the country's economy has slowed to a 1% growth rate since Mubarak's ouster, the unrest downtown against the army doesn't mean people aren't going to work. Al-Sayed says it's important to remember Tahrir isn't Egypt.
Maybe I'm not happy for all action happened in Tahrir Square because I don't like foreigner people to hear that we have a problem in Egypt.
The latest instability closed the Egyptian stock market recently, but it hasn't scared off all investors. Just last week, General Motors announced that it plans to open a car assembly factory in Egypt starting in 2012. And because he exports to America, Al-Sayed says he's just as worried about the U.S. economy as he is about Egypt's. In Cairo, I'm Julia Simon for Marketplace.
And finally, it's not easy these days finding co-workers who are respectful at the office. California staffing company Robert Half International's latest survey of hundreds of U.S. office workers lists some of the most egregious breaches of etiquette at work, like throwing papers in a furious fit over a work project or taking a picture of a coworker sleeping on the job and then sending it to the boss. Ouch. And the etiquette breach I have the biggest beef with? Stealing someone's lunch out of the company fridge. I mean, come on. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
We know a lot of iPods and iWhatevers are made in China, but we don't know where those factories actually are.
If they don't want to let the public know who their suppliers are, they should at least require the suppliers to disclose their own problems by themselves.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the Apple supply chain, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.